All right, so here we are live on BBS Radio. Welcome to those who participated with this call over the internet. And Mike, please, I took away from you. Please continue with saying your name and location.
Yeah, this is Mike and Mary in Plattsmouth, Nebraska.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And more people have joined in. Welcome, everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Marilyn in Michigan.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
There she is. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hi, Carla.
Hi, Lucy. Hi, Carla.
Hi there.
Hi, hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Marilyn. Good morning, Lucy. Good morning, Carla.
How you doing, bud?
You know, I kind of like having a job that I don't have to wear a tie.
Mm-hmm. Welcome those who just joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Francis in Concord, California.
Hi, Francis. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, hi.
All right.
Good morning, Francis.
Chicago.
Hey, Joel.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Is that Wynn?
Yep.
He's in there.
Hey, welcome to those who just came into the call. Come to please say your name and location.
Zoe, good morning. Good morning.
Here's Zoe. Hi, Zoe. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hi, Zoe.
Michael.
And I hear Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Hi,
Francis.
Hi.
Are there more I missed? Speak up and say your name and location.
Good morning. This is Edna.
Guten Morgen, Edna.
Guten Morgen.
Hi, Edna.
Hello.
Is Terry there yet?
No, she's not.
Better wake her up.
All right.
Get the pointy stick. Get the pointy stick.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
They're from Los Angeles.
I'm sorry, who's this from Los Angeles?
Deb.
Good morning and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Deb, what part of LA are you in? Yep, can you hear me?
You're in Glendale.
You're in Glendale. Yeah, this is Wynn. I'm in North Hollywood.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm heading to Sedona next week.
You are?
Yeah.
Stalker. Carpool.
Stalker. Stalker.
offer to take Terry to lunch and she might show up.
Okay.
How long are you in California, Wynn?
Until I leave.
Oh, what about?
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don from Rexville. Hi, hi. Say, everybody.
Good morning, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks. Am I the only one here today?
You're the only one.
Good morning.
Other, like 30 people.
We were just watching.
We have a bunch of people here.
Good.
And we're also live on BBS Radio, so we probably have some people listening in over the internet. And those who just joined in on BBS, I welcome you folks, and thank you for being here.
All right.
Quiet today.
Yep.
Very peaceful on the phone here.
Yeah, we're all content with waiting.
And we're still digesting yesterday.
Did you hear anything about Daphne last Wednesday's call? She got like energetically cut off or something? Did you hear anything about that? Or?
It was.
Oh, you weren't on the call last Wednesday, were you?
I was there, yes. Oh, I believe Terry is here, is that right?
Yes, hi.
Oh, hi.
Our beloved sister Terry, good morning, Terry, how are you doing?
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Terry, did you hear anything about
that? Good morning, Terry.
Energy.
Good morning.
Sound fault out there?
Did I hear anything about what?
Daphne had like energy problems on the with the San Andreas fault or something.
Well,
on the last call, did you hear anything more about that?
I'm in Los Angeles. I hope she fixed it. But
you haven't heard anything though, or?
Well, basically, it seemed like it was a telephone problem, which a lot of people are having, and then through Terry, they said. They stopped giving Daphne any more words because they knew that she was being cut off on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what they said through Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked that again.
San Andreas fault or something, though. So you guys didn't have any earthquakes or anything out there, did you?
Not yet.
Not at all, I hope.
Not at all.
We'll fix that today.
A lot of people are having phone problems. I have people that are on certain days can't call states or area codes. Or
where is that located? California?
I've heard it all over the country. I've had people in one day say they can't get a hold of someone in California, but they could text them. They couldn't get a hold of them in Chicago, but they got a hold of someone in the northern burbs.
Uh-huh.
This whole area of huge blocks of blackout. Calling.
Yeah, they're working on it, and the plate's movement causes an electrical field disturbance.
That sounds about right.
All right. I welcome all those who just came in, and if you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Vaughn and Charlotte in Burbank.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's Jim from Sedona.
Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the call.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thank you.
Anyone
Dawn
else?
Don from Aspen, Colorado.
Good morning, Don. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Tina from Asheville, North Carolina.
Hi, Tina. Thank you for being here.
Marilyn from Pittsburgh.
Hello, Marilyn. I thank you also.
Thanks.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Harry in Boulder City.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Good.
Terry, are you going to sing us a song today?
I just played Thursday night.
We know you're shy, so you're allowed to hum.
Okay.
Terry is a performer, singer-songwriter, right?
All right, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. We need lots of those.
That's right.
Feels good to do it, too.
Where did you play on Thursday?
Yes. Boulder Dam Brewing Company in Boulder City.
Boulder Dam Brewing Company.
Yeah, right in downtown.
Isn't that downtown?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they have an outdoor stage?
Yes, outdoor.
Mm-hmm. State is that in?
It's in Nevada.
Yeah, a nice crowd.
Boulder City is the weirdest city in Nevada.
They're all weird. I thought they were all weird, Nevada.
Well,
no, that's all.
Boulder City doesn't have any gambling.
That's a good thing.
Send the outskirts.
Rhonda.
Morning, Rhonda.
Hi.
Good morning, Rhonda. So, Rhonda, are you a fan of the Beach Boys?
Yes. And I get that all the time.
I thought so.
Well, they need help.
For those that you don't remember, the Beach Boys had a song called
Help
Me, Rhonda.
Help me get you out of my life or something like that.
Yep.
All right, it's 10:06, Miss Three. I think we need to start rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
All right. They're all digging in.
anybody on the call for the first time?
I am, Rhonda.
Hi. Did my email get you to this morning?
Yes, I just got it and just dialed.
All right.
Rhonda, how did you hear about it, just out of curiosity?
Well, I get the emails. It just seems like I'm never here to go
on. Did
you
hear about Coast to Coast, though, originally? Or?
No. You know, well, I had bought the book, you know, the Reincarnation of Edgar Casey a couple years ago.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how.
I'm just curious how people hear about this. Not, like, common knowledge exactly.
No. And I guess I went on from that somehow.
Uh-huh.
That's why.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks.
Well, a warm welcome to you, Rhonda.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, this is Carolyn. I'm from Uganda.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Shelly. Hi.
Carolyn?
Hi, Winfrey.
Hi. Hey, Carolyn.
Yeah.
We got your envelope. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad you got it.
Took a long time. You sent it to
it
L.A.
Did.
Well, it wasn't your fault. We picked up the mail. You know, in L.A., it's our old address, and it's a mail drop.
Uh-huh.
And usually they forward the mail every couple of months. And I happened to be in L.A., and I picked it up personally. And what a nice surprise. Thank you.
I thought you were surprised.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Just letting you know.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for telling me.
I am joining
Carolyn
you
from Okotoks.
Hello, Carolyn. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Is this
a lady?
Carolyn.
Hi.
Okotoks? Where's Okotoks?
Randy and Yelm.
South of Calgary, Alberta.
Calgary, Okotoks. It sounds like it's one of the cities in Uganda.
It's an Indian name that means big rock.
Right.
I wanted to thank Terry in Boulder. I got your envelope in Sedona, and it was a really pleasant surprise.
Good. I was wondering if you're hoping you got it. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Actually, we get these strange envelopes, and there's money in them. And so, if anyone wants to send us strange envelopes with money.
Did you go to Western Union and pick your money up?
No, I just gave Terry the instructions yesterday.
Okay.
So,
thank you, Corella.
You're welcome.
Are there more who want to announce themselves? Please feel free to do so.
Hi, Shay from Chicago.
Good morning. Welcome to the call, Chief.
Thanks.
Good morning, Michael in San Diego.
Good morning, Michael. Welcome to the call.
Hey, Michael.
Thank
you. Good morning, Randy from Washington.
Hi, Randy. You're welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, and I'm Carolyn from New York.
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you for being
Hi.
Here.
Thank you.
Oh, good. There's a lot of Carolyn.
Is that New York City?
That is Bronx, New York. Yes, okay. New York City, part of one of the five.
All right.
I hear canaries.
Oh. Does someone have canaries? Does someone have trees?
Out in the backyard, Boulder City. Finches are singing.
I hear a 24/7.
Okay, we're going to mute everybody. And we're going to start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody. Sunday morning, April 7th, 2013. This is Winfrey in North Hollywood, California. North Hollywood, which is a suburb or a part of Los Angeles. Terry Brown in Sedona, Arizona. And Carla Rucker, Anchorage, Kentucky. you everywhere. We have people in all kinds of different states. I don't know if we have any countries. Do we have Bogdan online? Bogdan usually comes in from Sweden, and he can attend our Sunday calls because it's a good time. And in case you haven't...
Have your cell phone ready because it's fading out once in a while.
I'm cutting out already? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll just get it right on right now. And we'll call in. I think we have Vaughn on the line. You know, this work we're doing on these calls is a giant experiment. Hang on.
Followed by the pound.
I'm just going to...
The menu will repeat. Access code accepted. There are 55 participants in this conference. This conference is being recorded.
Okay. Uh-oh. I'll fix that.
Okay, I got your Skype muted. Can you go on the phone now? Okay, if you... I'll get back to you. Open up your Skype. Oh, there you are. No, that's Terry. Hold on. Open up your Skype again. Okay, Wynn.
Okay. Just let me know if Skype is going bad.
Okay?
Okay. I mean, I know the quality on Skype is better. I was listening to the replay yesterday. And, of course, yesterday morning, Carla and I did our fourth session of the Law of One Made Simple series. And I highly recommend it. Actually, it felt like, and...
you are fading out, Wynn.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is that better? That's probably okay, right?
Yes.
All right. Hi, you were on that session yesterday.
Yes.
It was Did you go through any change? Huh?
It was awesome, Wynn and Carla. That was a beautiful session.
Thank you.
So what struck you on that session?
You know, one thing that really has stayed with me is when Carla was talking about the, explaining about the reference between different dimensions and the music notes. And just the energy was pretty high on the call, too, I think. And, you know, I really have to listen to it again because it is... how you say that? There are no real issues that stay on my mind, but the whole call, it was just awesome. It was just awesome from the very beginning till the end, and I need to listen to it. And I didn't make any notes. I should have made some notes.
You didn't expect I was going to be calling you on the table, right?
We're covering a lot of ground.
How about you, Carla? You know, even though Carla brought this stuff through, I mean, she was talking yesterday about how. It was only after the 27th session that she was allowed to listen to them because she was in trance. And Don Elkins was afraid if she heard them as she was going, her conscious mind might intrude. So even Carla, I would say, she's not necessarily an expert on the material just because she brought it through, although she is an expert. But, you know, she certainly has to go through her own assimilation and interpretation of it. And I know she said that as she's doing these calls, as we're doing them, she was learning herself, reminding herself, or seeing the things in a different perspective. You know, it's kind of like a poem, how you can hear it one day and then you listen to it a few years later. And it gets deeper. The raw material is like that. What did
There you are.
Yeah. Anything jump out on with you on the call yesterday?
Well, nothing in particular. Although I remember
running into some aspects of talking about what happened with the asteroid belt people, you know, and coming here and thinking how cunning all these details were that I had pretty much forgotten, and how it all fits together, and how the drama of the human saga on this planet isn't connected only to this planet. It reaches back into I had forgotten completely about Deneb, for instance, the people from Deneb that came in, was it Lemuria that they were connected with, and so many of the Asiatic, the Eastern people that are Denebians, you know, and I'd forgotten that. And there's this feeling of the history of Earth is really the history of 16 different planets that, for one reason or another, were not able to complete their experience in third density. And they had to repeat. And, you know, when it came to graduation or before it got to graduation, something happened to their planet. They were not able to go on to fourth density. And so here we all are, muddling through this together. And the experiment, I think it hit me how crucial it was that it was in this experiment that free will was so firmly set as a number one precedent and need, that the illusion became so completely thick that it's like a veil of forgetting. So we come in here and we do not remember that we've been other places. We don't remember how things really are. And we have to be struck by something. We have to be almost, I say struck because, you know, we have to resonate to something. We have to resonate to astrology or to say, you know, gosh, every time I think about Mars, you know, I just have this feeling like maybe I was part of that before Mars dried up, you know, and that's very powerful because we have tons of people here that used to be from Mars. And then we have all of the people here from Venus, you know, the Ra people, people that came in here to try to help at the end of this city here on Earth. So we have this ship of souls that Earth is, this fragile island home. As the poet said, and we're sailing along and trying really hard, I think, to honor each other and to honor ourselves and try to figure out what's going on. And it's just, when I get into the reading of it the way, you know, you do, you read some and then we talk about it, and as we go along, there's always something or other that I have forgotten, some detail. And I remember those old cartoons of Scrooge McDuck, and he'd be sitting there in his treasure house and be throwing the money in the air. Wee, I love my money. And I sort of feel like that. You're absolutely right. I don't take any credit at all, personally, for the Law of One Material, because a channel is an instrument. You know, you're playing somebody else's tune, and the only thing that you can do, hope to do, is play it well or get it right. And so that's all I can hope for, and I think, you know, maybe I came close on that. And I think it's such a blessing that I did, but I relate to it much more as a fan than I do as, you know, like an original, I did this, you know, I don't relate to it like that. I really find that it has helped so much in my life. It has set so many dreams have come into reality because of the principles of the Law of One. I know far more about myself because of working with that information than any other information.
You know, I thought for me, and I was going through the section where they were talking about how souls got moved, entangled knots of souls, and how long it took on Earth time to untangle them.
Oh, Over 100,000 years.
Yeah, and the patient, you know, we would think it would take incredible patience. And from their point of view, of course, they're outside of time. So 100,000 years probably doesn't seem like a long time in the experience of time-space. But there were, you know, just to intrigue you all, there were these two planets in our solar system where all life was extinguished, Mars and Maldek. In the case of Mars, the planet remained intact, but something happened, and life was wiped.
The bombs were such when they went off altogether that it scooped the oxygen layer off the planet. There was no more oxygen.
That's on Mars?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah. But in any case, there is, you know, people wonder, when you go from a religious point of view, you think it's all magic and God can do everything, and things just happen, and a magic wand gets waved. And here you see all the logistics of this group's soul on the other side, and the patience of working with entities that had totally lost it. When I say lost it, it means they didn't know they existed. They were stuck together, and they didn't know they existed. And the love and care to take the attention and time to bring these entities back into a state of awareness where they knew they existed. And, you know, they were taken to Earth. They had to, like, reside in ape bodies because that's all there was temporarily until the planet could evolve to where those souls could continue where they left off, which took a very long time. And the thing about it is, those souls, in many cases, were us. That was us. We were in a tangled knot, many of us. And it was the Ra group that untangled it. And they didn't untangle it, but they created the circumstances. And, you know, when I read that originally, and I was starting to put the Ra group in connection with Jesus, I was thinking, if a group soul can do something like that, if they have that much love for the evolution of beings, then how could they not be involved somehow in that epic of Jesus being on this planet? And, in any case, you know, I will be probably sending out the audios sometime later today after I edit them. For those of you who were on the call or registered and didn't get them, and you can still register and get the audios. And, I mean, we have a system where it's like $5, $25, essentially name your own price, because I don't want anyone to be excluded from this. And who is that?
That sounds like one of those...
is that you, Carla?
No, it's not I. One of those telephones on a television program, you know, where, this is a cue for somebody to pick up. Gee, do we have a script for that?
You know? Right.
We have stumbled on someone else's script, Wynn.
Yeah. There we go. So.
The other day, my computer was thundering.
Thundering?
Thundering.
All right.
Yeah, my husband heard it. I wasn't the only one. I was glad. someone else is in the room because my computer is thundering. He says, your computer is thundering. I said, oh, thank God. You know, at least somebody else heard it. And it did it like four times, and then it stopped. And I never could figure out why. It was somebody else's storm. I don't know. But I was privileged to experience that.
You know, one of my funniest things with the rock group happened some years ago when somebody sent me an email with a channeling email, and I can't remember why they sent it. And they sent it in the middle of the night, and in the middle of the night, my printer went off and printed it. And so I said, okay, they're making a sign here. Do you ever have any things like that happen, Carla?
Well, I've heard of them. Mostly people report that the book, The Law of One, fell on their head. This happened like a dozen times all over the world. Falls on their head from an upper shelf in a bookstore or used bookstore somewhere. And they think, well, I guess I'd better buy the book. Yeah, that's happened many times. Or several times it's happened that it sits there by the when they're checking out. And they pick up the book and they go, this is interesting, can I buy it? And the guy that's running the checker says, well, we don't carry this book. I can't sell it to you, but I guess you can have it.
I remember one guy who was telling authors how to sell their books was to go into a bookstore and take their books and just put them around on different tables. Don't sell the bookstore. Then the people will come up to buy the book and they can't find it in their computer. And they'll buy it. Then they'll order it after that. So, Jerry,
Vandegal, you please take away the phone a little bit away from you.
Okay. Jerry, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Now, did you get anything out of what stood out on the call yesterday for you?
Well, it was like a validation of all the work that I've been doing about working through the knot of tangled souls that I ran into and became a part of. And it's a real big, like, aha moment, because it's like, personally, I ran into it, and I've been having to work through it. And there, the Rob group comes through and talks about it. So it's like some kind of a relief that in this information is known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we had a section in the Elohim book where I asked them. I said, "We're talking about nuclear explosions." And apparently, if you're in a nuclear explosion, there's a tendency to end up in a tangled mass of souls, which a bunch of those are floating around somewhere.
I've never been really, really terrified by something. You can imagine how that would happen, because you just clutch.
Yeah.
You can't think. You just go, and you clutch, you know. And if it's scary enough that you lose your life suddenly and in the process of it, especially if you can see it coming, the way they show the bomb, the effect of it moving. You can see it moving across the desert in pictures of the test.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, if that isn't scary. So I can imagine how that would happen, where you would just clutch, and you'd clutch on such a basic level that all of you together that were dying at the same time would clutch together. And it would be, you would forget that you were conscious. That's what they said. That they had
mm-hmm.
to work for over 100,000 years until the people started to remember that they were conscious beings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, people, like if you take a group of people and they're got their own thoughts, their own specific thoughts, and each one has their own specific thoughts, and all of a sudden this atomic bomb goes off and it refocuses everybody in the field at the same time to the same thing, and they're all looking at the same thing, and it captures
everybody's attention totally, and there they are, reset to the same moment in time and the same thought, and it just dissolves their light body, their own matrix, their own structure.
Yeah, I think that's where the Confederation entities come in, is that they want to make sure that nobody's person disappears, you know, the essence, the soul, that disintegrates. So they're interfering at that point to keep the souls from disintegrating.
Yes. Each individual is still their own person and their own soul. However, they got reset to a group thing. And they don't have any structure for operation to rely on, and it becomes a group structure and sort of a hive mentality.
Yeah. So thank God that many years ago, those of us who were in that made it through, and here we are working to graduate third density again.
Right.
We've gotten reset from our reset.
But we still have a huge mass of entangled souls right now that are clung together right now, right? We have talked about it last year or the year before, right, Wynn?
Well, it seems to me that there's probably always groups of tangled souls out there. I mean, from nuclear explosions, all kinds of stuff. But this was an exceptionally large group of tangled souls because it was an entire planet. I mean, imagine the complexity of billions of souls in a tangled mass. That's what it seems like different. Like even, as Terry has said, when people die in even an explosion, apparently it doesn't have to be just atomic. If they're in a close proximity to each other, in some kind of explosion, and maybe even a car accident, they can tend to glom together because I'm not going to even try to say because it's beyond me. Is that not true, Terry? Has that come up for you?
It's because of the reset. I would work with souls, and like one time I came across three souls from Yugoslavia, and I didn't know where they were from, but all I saw was this small, it was three people that got glommed together, and they were just like, they didn't know what to do. They were just like in trouble, and so they were reaching out, and I happened to see them. And I started working with them and, asking what happened to you. And they were in the Yugoslavian war, and they were in a room, and the room exploded, and there was three of them. And they were all wearing a particular type of uniform, and I had never seen that uniform before, but just talking them through it, that's what happened. And they all went off into their three individual beings, and they were able to continue and go off and not get confused with each other. And I was watching the TV later, and there was individuals with that same uniform, and it was a Yugoslavian uniform. But that's an example of what can happen, even with three people in a room, and somebody sets off an explosion exploding the room, can really end up confusing for the beings involved.
We had a question during a session years ago, not too many years ago, because it was about 911. People wanted to know, what about some of the souls that had not yet been found? And the Ra group told this beautiful story about the Indians of Manhattan. Of course, the Manahatta Indians are a tribe, right? And they sold the island for a couple of beads, right? You never hear about the Indians anymore. But at any rate, in the spirit world, they're still there. And they went around and collected some of the people that were so dazed, and it happened so quickly, they didn't know why they were dead or that they were dead. They were just, what's happening? Where am I? And they told this story of collecting them on, like, the 35th floor and having a campfire and telling stories around the campfire until they began to come back to themselves. So apparently the spirit world has a great interest in helping souls.
Yes, there was,
and, you know, orient themselves.
Yeah, there was another individual who, he has a group of people, and after 9/11, they went in spirit-wise to the area, and they were helping individuals that couldn't figure out what to do. And there was one fellow that was still sitting at his desk, and his desk no longer existed or anything, but he was still sitting.
Yeah, he had that construct in his head.
Right, and he was still sitting there, and he kept thinking over and over, I'm supposed to go home at 6 o'clock, but I can't quite figure out what to do about that. And so the person worked with him to get him to the point that he knew what happened and he could go on.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention was, at one point, I asked a question to Terry. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. I'm not going to depend on it being true. But I said, what would happen if I was in a nuclear blast? And the answer was that the Ra group would pull me out of my body before my soul fragmented. And, you know, there's this idea, if you can get them paying attention to you, or if you can get an energetic connection with them, which is why we're doing all these calls. I mean, truthfully, there's a lot of great information, and there's a lot of wisdom, and, of course, we bring their messages in right on the call. But the real goal here is that each of you, on some level, can learn to feel the energy that can be broadcast into this realm and into you from sources, positive sources, in higher dimensions. And that it creates kind of an inner invisible companion. But it's really there. You can feel the energy. You can feel it. And we are learning together how to have that experience of holding that energy. Because that energy isn't dependent on the things you're doing in the physical world. It's not dependent on what happens down here. And as you learn to hold that energy, then, and, you know, when you talk getting off the wheel of reincarnation, it seems to me that when you start to hold an energy that's off-world instead of on-world, essentially, you're graduated. Even while you're here, you're graduated. And it's learning all the things that make that happen. One of the things is requesting it. One of the things is having the intention to have that occur. One of the things is spiritual discipline. Like, do you meditate every day? Do you create a space for prayer for other people? Do you hold the energy to get out of the world and move into that sacred place inside you? Many things to do on an ongoing basis. And as you start to do it, as many of you have learned, as I have learned, there's no turning back, because it becomes the paramount focus in your life. And that's, you know, people come on these calls and they want miracles. They want something to happen. And yes, we've had loads of miraculous, phenomenal things happen on this call. And, you know, at one point, I was just thinking, how's this going to work? Am I just going to have miracles all around me? And I realized that miracles, I mean, it is wonderful when something shifts for someone that shouldn't have, and that their life is enhanced or their health is enhanced, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, oftentimes when I introduce the work, I talk about my sister's healing. And when that happened, I was a little confused. I said, well, maybe I just have all these healings are going to occur for people around me. And, you know, I watched it and observed it. And I see that when people come and all that's in their mind is heal me, essentially they're saying, I'm giving up my power, heal me. And if you're giving up your power to an external source, particularly these two group souls, the Ra group and the Elohim group, if you're giving up your power to them, that is not what they want. That is not what makes you grow. It's cooperation. It's from my perception, they work in a co-creative way. Last Monday's conference call was about co-creation. They work where they become friends with you. You become friends with them. You learn to identify their energy inside you, and it becomes a friend. And when you have a friend, it's easy for a friend to look after you. They want to look after you. They like you. You enhance their life as well as them enhancing your life. And that would be the idea. How do you create this kind of friendship? It's one of the reasons we do so many things. If you notice, we do a lot of calls, and those of you who have discovered us and keep coming into these calls are learning to identify those energies inside of you. And yes, the first time, it's amazing. The first time, it's like, I never experienced this before. And then invariably, you will go back to your old way of being. I shouldn't say invariably, I should say in most cases. Because you are dealing with patterns hundreds of thousands of years in the making. These patterns that have created who you are. We talked about Maldek. Maldek, when did Maldek explode, Carlo? 500,000 years ago, was it?
600 and some thousand years ago, but then it was over 100,000 years before they were able to get them conscious enough to come to Earth.
To separate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 500,000 years ago they came here, and think about that.
And then we came in to being Neanderthal man, I think. And then we went through loads of lifetimes in this realm. And different relationships and different traumas and different hurts. And here you are. Here we are. Here we are coming to the table with this huge track. And you come to one of these calls and you have a glimmer of experience. You feel something inside you. You feel an energy. And you say, could that be what Lynn is talking about? Is that it? And then you go back to your life. And you're going to go back to your old patterns. It's not going to stay in most cases. But you come back to the call, and there it is again. And then you go back, and there it isn't. And you're learning. I'm learning. And then you can get up in the morning, and you can do a meditation. And you can say, I want to feel that energy that I felt on the call. Knock, knock. Are you there? And shut your eyes and spend 20 minutes in, or half an hour or 2 hours, and see if you can make that energetic connection. See if you can bring that loving energy into you when it wasn't there when you started. And discipline yourself and do it over and over again. Now, you know, some people talk about spiritual discipline. People go into Zen monasteries. They do all kinds of things. And I think this work we're doing is like all of it, but with the added factor that we have a direct, verbal, intelligent connection with the sources that are administrating the whole process. And you can't believe that because I say it. You have to kick the tires. You have to pay attention. You have to observe it. You have to feel it. And then you have to integrate it. And it is your job to make the choices to do that. It's not your job to come here and say, fix me, do this, do that, do this. I need help. It's your job to integrate it and learn how to work co-creatively with these sources, not saying, okay, fix me. And you know what? This is a little different than standard religion. Because
it's way better as far as we're concerned. If you say, well, I'm so skeptical. I really think this is all just nonsense. And we're going, great, this is perfect. Okay, now why are you still here? What's made you curious? You know, keep looking. Please, keep looking. Don't believe it. Check it out for yourself. And, you know, if you just keep checking it out, what happens is you start having experiences. And then
you have
to deal with, okay, what's that experience about? Okay, why did that happen? You know, I was thinking about this, and synchronistically, the universe gave me that, just what I was thinking. You know, it came on the radio in a song, or I passed the very words on a billboard, or, you know, it's just, that's the kind of thing that will help, will happen to you, where you are skeptical, and you're not buying it, and then things begin happening to you, because you're opening yourself to this energy.
That's
when
right.
The church would say, forget everything, just believe.
Right, right. Have faith. I don't tell people to have faith. You know what? I think there is an aspect of faith, and the faith is, okay, these guys sound legitimate. They don't sound like they're BSing me. They don't sound like they're trying to get anything from me. I mean, we're doing our stuff, so much of it for free. What's their angle? You know, I remember when I was young, and I read Autobiography of a Yogi. Did you ever read that, Carla?
Oh, it was riveting in my life. That was the first.
Yeah.
I recommend
any of you who want to be inspired to get that book, Autobiography of a Yogi. Even online, you can find PDF versions of it for free. And it's the story of this young man from India who had a guru. And his guru told him his mission was to come to America and bring yoga to America. Well, he didn't just bring yoga. He brought God consciousness. And he probably became one of the more successful or famous people who ever did that. He's got a big center in Southern California, in Los Angeles. But he wrote a book called Autobiography of the Yogi. And he told about all of his experiences in India and all these miracles he had with different gurus as he was passing around. And I remember when I read that book, I was in my nerdy skeptical space. And I kept reading it. And I remember having my father's voice in my head saying, all right, what's his angle? What's his angle? And I couldn't find an angle. Plus, if you look at his picture, his picture is just incredibly innocent. And I said, how could that guy have an angle? He doesn't look like he has an angle. Because I think at the time I read it, I said, these experiences couldn't happen to someone. And then, a few years later, when I was playing music and traveling around the country, I was having those kinds of experiences every day. And I was prepared for them because I read that book. And I do strongly suggest it. Daphne even, I don't think Terry ever read that book. You never read that, did you, Terry?
No, I have it. I have the book, but I haven't read it.
Okay. That was a big influence on Daphne's life. It was a big influence on a lot of people's lives because it made plausible what would normally be impossible was possible.
It's the kind of thing where you're not doing it out of duty. You want to read it because it's fun.
Yeah.
That can really write.
Just go look up on the internet, Autobiography of the Yogi. If you don't buy it, look up a PDF version of it and download it and read it, and you won't be sorry. So, you know, there's this whole idea of making connection. And the amazing thing, and this has been a work in progress, is that on these Sunday calls that we're doing, we are making connection. At least that's my take on it. Either that or we are like the best illusionists on the planet because here we have people all over the world. They feel this energy on the call. And here we have this voice that comes through Terry and says, hi, that's us. It's like, think about it. Isn't that amazing? Do you realize? You know, there's a lot of spiritual groups that can bring that energy. And I used to go to them. I used to feel the energy. And, you know, they would say it was God or love. But I never went to anyone, ever, that you could feel the energy. And then a voice came in and says, hi, that's us. Can you feel us? And it's like, could we make, how does that work? I'm looking at it from a skeptic's point of view, which I think is healthy. And, you know, Terry, I happen to be a good salesperson. So, you know, sometimes people don't trust me immediately because they think, God, he's a good salesperson. He could be doing this to sell something. But Terry is the worst salesperson in the world. Actually, she's not the worst salesperson. People, you know, some of you don't know this, but I used to sell sunglasses. And this was years ago, and Terry was going out and selling for me. And she would never sell using good technique. She would sell because people would come up and they loved talking to her and they'd feel so loved talking to her and they'd end up buying something before they left. And that's still how she is, you know. Even on the line, Terry is, you know, I think she does. She doesn't even have the potential for guile or manipulation. And it's like, how did I get her to do this? How did I get her to bring these voices through? Do we have a script beforehand to prepare it? Now, you guys know that's not true. But I'm saying, I know how people are who are skeptics. You know, occasionally somebody says something about, about Terry negatively. Usually more about me than Terry, but occasionally they say something, but very rarely. And even I say, here she is talking about Dr. Marshall again. Do you know who Dr. Marshall is, Carla?
I don't, but I can tell you how come I started channeling. And it was
simply
for love of Don Elkin. He invited me to do it, and I didn't want to do it at all. It wasn't anything on my radar whatsoever. I'm still to this day reluctant to do it because it's hard work. But he said, look, I need you to do this. And I couldn't say no. You suppose Terry might have felt something like that? You say,
well,
I need you to do this.
Well, what happened with me was I got really interested in channeling by going once a week to hear Cheryl Taylor channel. That it was the most amazing thing she was bringing through the Council of Light. And the most amazing things were happening. And she had a channeling class, and I studied in her channeling class how to channel. And then the first time I channeled in her class, there was so much love coming through that I just started crying, and I could barely say anything. And I kept trying to get Wynn interested. He would take me there. He would drive me there, and I'd say, it's going to start right now, right now. We're going to walk in the door, and it's going to start. Come with me. He'd say, no, no, no. And he would never come. But I had this love of talking to the fellows on the other side. It seemed so pure and had such miraculous information. And so it was easy to get me to do it. I wanted to.
Well, when you were going to those sessions, didn't one time she put you in front of everybody and you started channeling?
Yes. Yeah, that's a time when it's like so much love came through when they came through. So much love came through, I just started crying. It was it was beautiful.
That's the most amazing thing I ever experienced about it, and it used to blow me. The energy of the love was like the feeling of being high.
Yeah.
I've never used hard drugs, but what people describe is that when it hits you like that, it takes you away. It would blow me. It would blow me away. And I actually couldn't get words. And it took me a couple of months before I could get through that energy just to form words, because the love that this is carried on, the energy of it is love. And it's just amazing. So I feel like even if you read the things that Terry or I have channeled and you just read them to yourself, you're feeling the love. You know, it's that strong that it comes through, even if you read it the second time, you know, second generation. That love is still between the words.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that is, it's a very interesting thing, because when you start reading channelings, in some channelings that love comes through. But in a lot of channelings, and this is a very subtle thing, it almost sounds like the same thing. And you think it's the same thing, but the love doesn't come through. It talks about love. It tells you you should be feeling love. But the love is not present in the session. But it's... really look at those things and see what I mean. I don't want to I don't want to read one because I don't want to, you know, take anyone else's apart. But do you know what I'm talking about, Carla?
I do. I know exactly what you're talking about. And
yeah.
That's part of how you use discernment. You use discernment to see, well, is that real, or is somebody trying to put me on in order to manipulate me? That's one way you can tell.
Yes. And I mean, the person may not even be putting you on it. Maybe the source speaking through them. It's trying. Because they know all the buzzwords. They know that the buzzwords, oh, you beautiful children of love and light, we're so happy to have you here today. And, you know, we don't ever do that. I can't do that. But, first of all you guys are evolving spirits. And just to come in and say, oh, you beautiful children of love and light, I'm thinking, well, some of you are maybe touching into that. Some of you are working it. And some of you are dancing in duality. When you say, oh, you beautiful children of love and light, everything is so wonderful, we're going into the new world, it's like there's no, I don't know if you can see this, but it's an expression of one side of a duality. And it never takes into account the other side of your nature. It doesn't include it. It's a one-sided point of view. But I don't know. I don't know if it's a negative source or if it's just a source that's on one side of duality. It's not bad. The bottom line. Hello, let's see here. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
My cell phone just knocked out. Now I'm back on Skype.
Yeah, okay. Mine dropped out too, a little bit ago.
You know what?
I was still here, but it just sounded so empty.
You know what? You see the timing of it? I started talking about once. I don't even want to repeat it. Notice what I said when that happened.
Right,
okay.
Right. Words take you right there, wherever.
Notice what I said in the moment it dropped out, okay? I mean, they've told us, we've talked about it. As, you know, some of you ask me questions about the negative, and it's like, I mean, they've told me, if I answer those questions in a channeling session, it's easier for, you know, well, see, even now, even though we're not channeling, we have a group matrix energy present. And if you notice, I'll tell you how you can tell there's a group matrix energy, that we're not logical. This whole thing from start to the point of now is not in the mind. We're just treading water, and the three of us are holding the space. But we're not doing it in our mind. We're not choosing to do it. It just shows up. We hold the space and the energy flows, and it becomes a portal for higher energies to come in. So even though we're not channeling, we're not doing meditations, the energy of the three of us creates a group energy that you can feel. And I love doing this way, because there is absolutely no effort on my part when we do this. With particularly Carla, because she holds a balance. And then Carla, Terry, sometimes I'd love Daphne to be part of this kind of a call. If she's listening, hi, Daphne. Maybe she can understand what I mean. Because, say, for example, yesterday when we were doing the raw material stuff, that was, for me, it felt like a lot of work. I mean, the energy was there. I know people were getting the energy, but it was different because I had to be really focused and extremely sharp, because just to talk about it and understand it was like an exercise. It was kind of like when I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. That was really tough. That was a lot of work, because I had to make sure all of my footnotes worked, all my references held together, and I was used to writing poems and songs, which I could just flow off the top of my head, write it down on a piece of paper, and come out with something, and I was coming out with really great things. So this is
This is a call that's just a joy because the three of us hold the energy automatically and effortlessly, and you all are sharing it, and you're holding the energy, and it's that easy. It's not hard, except I know some of you, when the call is over, are going to go back and say, uh-oh, I'm back in my other stuff. So this is where you have to be patient with yourself. You have to give yourself time to integrate everything. You have to not judge what looks like your weaknesses are going back to old patterns and just observe them. And we're going to keep doing what we do, is coming into these calls and holding an energetic reference point. And what I'm going to do now, it's like I do this, you know, visualization, and we've already established the anchor point for the energy. It's all here. We are already, many of us, you are feeling it. We're in a group energy. We can feel that energy showering down, coming through our crown chakra, holding the space around us. Those of you that have more sensitive vision can see little flecks of energy in your room and dancing around. And we're centered in the middle of the universe. And we're extending down into the earth. We're extending up into the celestial world.
But that's one, two, can't wait till tomorrow morning.
And we're muting highs. You see, it's all part of the flow. Did not, in an old paradigm, I'd say, how come Hayes didn't unmute his phone? And it's okay. And so let's take the energy from the earth and just move it up through the floor and move it up into our legs and into our feet. Put your feet flat on the floor. And the earth is alive, and the earth hosts us. We live on the earth. We've lived on the earth many lifetimes. Think about it. If some of us came in from Maldek and were part of that tangled mass, and then we were here on the earth as Neanderthal man, and the earth was in her process of evolution, she knew all this. We have been with the earth, many of us, for a very long time. And so, as we feel that energy of the earth come through the floor, and we feel that tingling in our feet, we can tell the earth we love her. She has hosted us. She has patiently watched us evolve. She has endured all the ways that humans have hurt her, abused her. And we move the Earth's energy up through our legs, up through our calves, our thighs, up through our bodies, through our neck, and through to the top of our head. So we have that finger of energy from the earth moving through our entire energetic system. And it's always there. And you feel grounded. Grounded means being connected to the earth. And then we move through the top of our head and imagine ourselves 1 foot above our head. and then moving up to the ceiling. And let's shower our room, the room we're in, with this energy that's coming through us from the earth. Now we're going to move through the ceiling and into the sky, and through the roof and into the sky. And we're moving up, up. This is our energy. It's being projected from our crown chakra, from the top of our head. And we keep going up, 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 up. And we're not only moving through space, we're moving through time. We're moving through the universe. And we come to the place where we connect with each other. We blend our energies. So we're creating a place outside of this dimension, outside of 3D. We can't see it. Some of you can feel expanded and big. You have that feeling. You can feel the expansion. But it's hard to identify it. It's hard to explain it in words, and you don't have to, because there's not words to describe it. And even if you think it's just your imagination, that's okay. Just feel the expansion. And we're going to invite our sources, our group souls, our imaginary friends. It doesn't matter. You don't have to believe they're real. Just go along with it. And we're going to invite them to join our group.
When did you fade out again?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you faded out.
Can you hear me?
I'm so glad.
I'm back. Okay. What was the last thing I said?
We invite them.
You were inviting the group soul.
Right.
We were the imaginary friend.
I'm getting on my cell phone again. I invite them to help me keep my cell phone online. 7-7-8-6-3-5. Yeah. All right. So if it goes out, just tell me and I'll pick up the cell phone. So either it's real. Now, I'm going to mute my phone. There we go. I'm going to mute my phone. I mean, you don't have to decide if it's real. You don't have to decide if we're a bunch of loonies. You don't have to make that decision. All you got to do is say, what if, and hang in there. And wait for some kind of experience that you know you can validate for yourself. You can feel this energy. Your mind might be saying, when is hypnotizing us? Or God knows, whatever your mind says. You can think of all those possibilities and consider them. And consider the possibility that when you feel that energy, it is what we're saying it is. And they are who they say they are. And that this is something you have waited a millennium of lifetimes to experience. And it's here now. And we do it every Sunday. And every Sunday, it's the same experience. And even myself, I'm amazed how we enter this experience and feel those energies. And we bring them back down. We keep the group intact. It's like we've just created a group up there by our either imagination or visualization or intention. And we're going to hold that group there and bring the energy back down through all the dimensions, through the sky, through our roof, through our ceiling, and into the top of our head. Now, if you could remember how it felt when we were bringing the Earth's energy up, and now we're bringing the celestial energy down. Notice how different it feels. You know, they talk about bridging heaven and earth. Maybe that's what we're doing. We're bringing the earth energy up, celestial energies down, and they meet in your body, in my body. And notice how that feels. Now just imagine that we have made connection with these group souls. And this is how it feels when they come in. And it's totally free will. They don't. If you're one of those who is analyzing us, is skeptical, mistrustful, and it's okay that you are. It's fine that you are. And maybe you're not feeling it because you don't want to or you're scared of it. And it's okay. It's something that you have to either keep checking us out until you decide you trust us, or it's not for you and we're a bunch of loonies. And it's all okay with me. While we have this energy so focused, I'm just going to go through some of the things on our healing page. Now remember, we're not healing you. We're creating a group energy affiliation. And if you let it in, if you truly let it in, magical things can happen. So we have and in Modesto, who sends this energy to her daughter Janet and asks for healing. She has a chronic lung condition, and she would appreciate assistance with her body's ability to heal herself. You might invite her onto one of these calls, if you so dare, so that she can experience it directly. And then we have Harold in Atlanta, Georgia. And we send energy to him for the flow of his projects, his job, prosperity, and love. So that prosperity and abundance can flow into him. And a life companion. Sending you blessings, Harold. Thanks for asking. And then Colleen in Sedona. Support for new movement class and abundance of healing sessions at the local spa. Coco Diablo. How come we have not gone out for lunch, Colleen? You're in Sedona. Joe in Redondo Beach. He asks that his relationship be blessed, his therapy practice, his extending out to community, to humanity, and Mother Earth for the highest good of all concerned. And Zoe in Sacramento. Testing 1, 2. Am I still on? Yes.
You are.
Yeah. Hang on. I just heard 5 dings, and I have no idea what that is. Zoe in Sacramento. And She's sending light to Carolyn in Uganda for her health disturbances, stomach aches, and for herself for successful eye surgery tomorrow. And I think, like, hang on just one second. Okay. Let's see. Hello? Testing 1, 2? Come on,
yeah.
Still? Yeah, okay. And then we have Helen. Healing for her longtime friend and healer, Emily, who's fighting serious illness. And love life for her and others affected by the highest and best good. Okay. So, right now, let's make pretend that you're being heard, that your thoughts, you're part of this group energy, and that these group soul sources can hear you. Just make pretend and say in your mind what you'd like to ask for. Remember, it's co-creative. You have to do your part. It's for the highest good, and it is honoring free will. And let's see what they have to say back to us. Are you there, Terry?
Yes.
Okay, let me call. We already have the light here, but I have my little invocation. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we turn it over for today's message, Shru Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We, within the space of each person who wishes it, come near and touch those that wish to be touched. We extend our love and our support, and we are available for you when you express your concerns. We hear you. We sense you. We come directly to you. We do not come over the telephone line, and we do not come over the internet radio. The voice is what comes over that. We are directly there. There is no space and time for us when we wish it. we come directly within your space. We see you as a light body. We see your light. We see what you are intending and asking for. And we see that in relationship to the strength of one's intention, their light of asking is brighter. We see each person on the call that wishes to be seen. We look further. We see churches wherein people are praying. We see the light within Rome of people praying. We see the light of others praying in the Mideast, and we similarly are there when they wish it. And we work toward the highest good, the highest good of each of you, and taking into account the lessons that each of you is striving to learn. Each of you are striving to work through. Each of you are striving for harmony and love in your life. Sometimes it gets reversed in that when one leaves somebody out, when a person feels that they are not loved and that they are totally left out, based upon their great desire for love and for acceptance and for communication and for being part of things, then they get angry, like a child who has not been given dinner, has been ignored, and is having a tantrum to try to get through to the parents, since the child does not have the language skills yet to try to get through to the parents. Feed me. I'm here. Notice me. I'm here. And until they get the language skills, they have that tantrum to let the parents know that there's something wrong. The safety pin is pricking them from the diaper, and they're letting you know. So when someone is ignored and is kept out of things and is made to feel that they are not worthy or a part of things, then they can begin to have a tantrum. This can apply to countries too. For instance, country such as North Korea, where the individuals wish and have forgotten even that they are wishing for acceptance. This is a lesson that works for individuals and all the way up to countries. The importance of the law of one, of knowing we are all a part of each other. We are all part of the same being. And when one gets isolated and ignored, they try to express themselves in whatever way they can. We see that the one being is learning about itself, ourself. And we are very thankful and appreciative of your participation, each and every one of you. It brings tears to our energy eyes to be able to connect and make the connection and have the communication. And you are all part of the same family. and we are all one, and no one in the long and short of it is really left out, and all are loved. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thanks to all of you who are supporting this work. This is a group work that we are not only partaking for ourselves, because feeling the energies, feeling the love is part of for us. It's also coming together and holding a group energy with our sources for our planet. And we visualize Earth, and we visualize ourselves in that place of that group we connected with above our heads, that energy we could feel. And we realize that we're co-creators with that energy. That means our intentions are powerful. Our intentions as a group. So I'm going to create a bunch of intentions here that I'm going to put into that group energy. And I ask that anything that I would put into it be for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. And if you go along, hold your space in that energy. And we're working as a team. We're working like a big team on behalf of planet Earth. We see that energy come in, our group energy, and surround the Earth. Not just us. We're not big enough to do that. We're leveraging ourselves with these group souls. They're big enough to do it. And we surround the Earth. And we find all those places where the energy is blocked and stuck. And where it doesn't violate free will, we fill in the cracks. It's like repairing a stucco wall. And there's all these beings on the Earth. Many of them would call themselves light workers. Many of them are busy reaching, praying, asking for support and help from God or from the other side. Let's look at those beings and see them as little points of light all over our planet. We see this light come down from the higher realms and touch them and meet them. And let's concentrate our energy cloud on the Ring of Fire, which we do every Sunday that we fit it in, which is that area of earthquake potential from the tip of South America, all the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean. So we go from the tip of South America up the western coast of South America. And what we're doing is we're projecting our energy, visualizing it going through the Earth into any tectonic plates that are in disharmony underneath the Earth. And we're just making the request that on any earthquakes, they should happen outside of highly populated areas or any populated areas, and small releases rather than major disruptions. We go up South America to Central America. We go up the western coast of Central America to Mexico, and the western coast of Mexico to the United States, California, San Diego, Chula Vista, up the western coast of the United States to Los Angeles. And if you're in one of these areas, like I am in Los Angeles, I'm just going to imagine the energy going through my body and into the earth underneath me. And we cover the entire Los Angeles environs, the North Hollywood, where I am, Glendale, downtown, everything, whether I name it or not. And we go up through Malibu, up through the western coast, through Carmel, through Monterey, through Santa Cruz, through San Francisco, and then we're going to do all the environs around San Francisco. Concord, if Francis is on the line, you can hold for Concord. If Lisa is on the line, you can hold for San Francisco. If you're in those areas, take a moment and let that energy move through your body and deep into the earth. Then we go up San Francisco to Sausalito, to Mill Valley, up the coast of California, through Mendocino, through Oregon, through Portland, Mount Hood, Washington, Seattle, Vancouver, up the western coast of Canada, across to Alaska, Sitka, down the eastern coast of Russia, down through China, through Hong Kong, through Singapore, through Japan. We ask for any help in reducing any residual radioactivity from Fukushima, the Philippines, Indonesia, any countries I'm not saying in that area, Australia, New Zealand, and Hawaii. We zoom out and look at this whole Ring of Fire area and realize how powerful we can be. Not us, but us as a team. Us as a team with us and them. And we just hold the gate open for energy to flood that area for the highest good of all concerned. And for releasing of any stress in tectonic plates. We're going to hold that space for a minute or so. And now we're going to move our earthquake preventive energy to the middle of the country, to St. Louis, to the New Madrid Fault, which some say is risky chance of going off. The New Madrid Fault is big. It goes through five states surrounding St. Louis area. And the effects could go, if it ever went, it could go all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. Some people have said that it could create a huge wash between the Great Lakes and the Gulf of Mexico. So we don't want this to happen. It would stop transportation. It would be really a nightmare. So let's ask with all our hearts to be protected, to send this energy down through the earth. We ask the earth to help out. Give us a little more time. And we'll go to the East Coast, the Mid-Atlantic Fault. Out there in the Atlantic Ocean, that could deluge the cities on the east if it ever went off. Let's send our energies through the ocean floor, all along the east coast of the United States. And let's move to the space of interventions. Let's ask for any healing that can occur in the situation with North Korea, in their threats to bomb us. Let's ask for compassion. Let's ask for awareness in this country. One of the problems in this country is so many people are so arrogant. Americans tend to be arrogant. Not you guys, but they think we're the best. They think we're superior to other people. They think we're God's chosen people. And do you know what? That attracts negative karma towards us. It attracts resentment. It attracts the potentials for countries to want to hurt us. And then we don't understand, on some level, we're part of the creation of that. And that becomes difficult because it creates karma, country karma. So let's ask for the highest good, for the experience of humility in all Americans, in our government, in the world, for all countries, to move into a place of humility and to be able to experience all humans as part of the expression of the law of one. There's no better. There's no worse. All men are created equal. And we are all here to experience life, and it doesn't mean we have equal potentials. It doesn't mean we have equal wisdom. But we have equal privilege. We should. To experience life and evolve. And no man should stand in the way of another man's spiritual evolution. We ask for this blessing on our planet and all those that would be against this, to be open out of free will, to open their hearts to this possibility. let's ask for freedom of expression, freedom of internet, freedom of press. So that people can write their truths and that other people can be educated in a truthful way with no restriction and no fears. Let's send the light to the Middle East, to all those souls that have been lost there, been killed there. Much of it is a result of American interventions. And to the Middle East, to Israel, let's send the light to Washington and all those leaders, people in power, that could make compassionate decisions. For the highest good, that they might choose to open their hearts. Let's ask for interventions in relationship to the chemtrails, that they can be molecularly worked with, so that anything harmful can no longer be active. And let's take a moment and silently put what you have in your mind. You can think it again. We did it earlier. We're going to reiterate it. Whether you have any planetary prayers or personal prayers or prayers for your friends or family, let's take this moment and activate them. Let's put in the light Carla's upcoming operation. Let it be successful and pain-free, and she becomes the healthy person that she envisions herself to be. And maybe I'll turn it over to Carla and see if she wants to add anything to all of this, and to Terry. And then we'll adjourn. Are you there, Carla?
In this wonderful, wonderful space. And we're setting intentions. Let's set our intention. Turn our face to home. We have a home in our spirit. Sometimes we feel that we're far from it. Let's turn our face towards it now. Whatever that means to us. We need our home. We need our unseen friends with us. We need our belief in ourselves. The knowledge of our own great, great one. Our truth, the truth of our being. Let us set our intention to open ourselves to each other. Not in ways that harm us, but in ways that complete us, in ways that help us to understand what love is. There's a wonderful song by Isaac Watts. He wrote it about the year 1800. And it's all about coming home. When I can read my title clear, the mansions in the sky, I bid farewell to all my fear and wipe my weeping eyes. I feel like I'm on my journey home. I feel like I'm on my journey home. And I'm on it with you. Carrie.
Are you there, Terry?
Yes, I'm here. I just want to send my love to everybody on the line. And thank you for participating, for being part of this group. We got an email from one person who said that we had become their family. And we had light in the dark, and that means a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. And Tina sent me an email, and she just wants to put in the light our planet's shielding from the solar system objects moving in and around us. And and I think it's like 11:54. We can come down to Earth. Those that you need to get grounded. Those that you need to return to feeling your normal life, do that way. Those of you that are learning to hold this space in the middle of your normal life, you can do that. And just so much gratitude to all of you who have been coming into these calls over and over and over again and teaching us how to hold the space for this, how to make something that is truly impossible an actual reality. I guess it's not impossible because we're doing it. But, you know, if I ever thought about it, I'd say it's impossible. And so on that note, watch your emails because I'll be putting out an email for the audio for the session we did yesterday. And I do really recommend it. It's hard to put into words how what we happened on that session and what we transpired. And our minds need the linear understanding of how it all works. It needs that to help. It grounds it. It grounds our experience. It makes it real. And that whole Law of One Made Simple series is doing that. And on that note, I am going to unmute everybody.